Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Thank you, brother. The first memorial this week is for the leaders of Florida's new college due to their decision to replace the school's long-standing Null Set mascot with the Mighty Banyans. Now, obviously, we have deep concerns about appropriation of this tree's species culture for a sports team without even securing verbal or written consent from the trees themselves. Allegedly, they didn't even ask. We certainly expect that the portrayal of these trees as violent, overpowering, and dominant is offensive to the peaceful species Ficus bengalensis, a speciesist lie if we ever heard one. Moreover, the banyan isn't even native to Florida, being in fact the national tree of India and having been transplanted to Fort Myers in the late 1800s involuntarily by none other than that instigator of global climate change himself, Thomas Edison, thus making the banyan a symbol of white male oppression through the international tree trade and the trail of sap drippings. But worst of all is the picture used for the new college banyans, a clear dog whistle for racists, depicting the dark-skinned tree as a menacing African-American male with bulging muscles and a leafy afro. Kudos to Robin Taub Williams, the woke white female teacher who properly asked several of her black friends if this was a racist icon before going public with her concerns in the Sarasota Herald Tribune. They said yes, and she bravely took on the evildoers at New College in an effort to expose their racist mascotification of black men and peaceful trees. Thus, we demand New College deforest its mascot, apologize to the Lorax, and return the proud legacy of being the ferocious Null Sets. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Johns Hopkins University, for misdemeanor misogyny and second-degree felony backsliding, in a misguided effort to virtue signal their inclusion of non-binary female sexualities, all 413 varieties of which have so far been identified, the Johns Hopkins University Center for Diversity and Inclusion recently updated their Gender and Sexuality Resources LGBTQ glossary to define lesbian as a non-man attracted to non-men, thus including non-binary people who identify as lesbian but not as women. We, of course, applaud broadening the category beyond just broads, but unfortunately, they continue to define gay men as being a man. In this ham-fisted effort at inclusivity, the center thus redefined lesbian in an entirely male way by negation, no longer women but now non-men. Still, as Frank Hoffer's treatise on linguistic supersedence teaches us, sexual inclusion trumps anti-sexism, being values of the third and fourth level, respectively. It's okay to recognize that lesbians no longer have to be women, but we shouldn't describe them merely as non-men. Unfortunately, Johns Hopkins subsequently removed the entire glossary and said they were gathering more information. They thus compounded the minor act of sexism with a serious act of backsliding, which is always bad because it gives our enemies the perception that we sometimes make mistakes. The most unfortunate part of this whole saga is how easily they could have solved the definitional problem by simply shifting it to say, lesbians are women, womine, uterus-having persons, or those who identify as lesbian, who are attracted to other women, womine, uterus-having persons, or those who identify as lesbian, the problem would have been solved. Moreover, they could have called gay men gay non-women and easily established that elusively triumphant inversion of the patriarchy which all relanguaging wokeites strive for. Simple. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to hold high in our esteemed Hall of Heroes the work of an unnamed teacher at England's Rye College in East Sussex for defending the right of one of his Year 8 students to identify as a cat. This 13-year-old she-line student likes to dress in cat-like attire and meows her answers in class when called upon, and teachers who show annoyance at any of this are disciplined for discrimination. When a fellow student refused to use her preferred pronoun of cat self, and dared to tell the young Molly, "How can you identify as a cat when you're a girl?" the unidentified teacher heroically called her despicable. Well, we just think it's wonderful that the leaders of this Thomas Aquinas Trust School are working against such bigotry and catnip it in the bud so quickly. Cases of other students identifying as horses, dogs, and even dinosaurs have all been reported in the British press. But of course, using the correct pronouns and allowing meowed answers is only the first step for these young people suffering from species dysmorphia. Beyond allowing them to put on fake ears and tails and fur and use scratching poles when bored in class, we should really start funding research into what sort of medical therapies might bring out their true selves. Just because this girl was identified human at birth, that should in no way prevent her parents from giving her whatever necessary species-affirming care they can to manifest her true catness. Artificial whiskers, fur transplants, perhaps even a prosthetic tail that responds to her emotional cues. And obviously, she should be allowed to use the litter box of her choosing. Surely these trans species children deserve to mature and grow in a supportive environment and should be given every opportunity to receive the feline alignment therapy they need. So good work, Rye College, even if pronouns and respect is all you can do for now. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Sadly, today's macrame and tambourine session had to be canceled due to an emotional trauma suffered by Caroline Johnson in her yoga class on Tuesday. An ignorant male attendant actually asked her if she wanted help with her breathing, a clear microaggression implying that a woman would need a man's help to do, well, anything. She's been sedated for 2 days. Keep her in your mantras. Refreshments will be on the East Lawn next to the pedal trolleys and the compost pile. Thank you to the fine people at Upside Foods who have donated an early batch of their recently FDA-approved lab-grown chicken, formed safely into the shape of harmless flower petals. We're just giddy with excitement to try this new no-range chicken for ourselves and taste the delicious meat that comes without a face.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 on News Radio 92.3, informative local.